Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Man's gospel and Christ's gospel. The one comes from heaven, the other comes from the world. One leads to eternal life, the other leads to eternal death. One seeks to appease us by giving us things we can do to earn salvation. The other tells us that we can do nothing and that God has done it all for us. Which is the one on which our faith is built? When we think about man's gospel and human expressions of religion, most of the time we think about such formal religions such as Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and the like. All of these fit with a version of what man wants to hear from religion, that there is something you can do to earn God's favor. However, these aren't alone. There is an expression going around which describes an alternative to this, but which is nevertheless purely man's gospel. It's called moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic, meaning that God essentially wants people to be good and do good things. Therapeutic, meaning that God wants people to be happy. Be happy with what you're doing. And deism, there is a God, but he really doesn't concern himself all that much with what is going on. In essence, this teaches the existence of a God who wants us to be good, wants us to be happy, and really doesn't concern himself too much with the minutiae of what those things mean. When we do good things and we're happy, God smiles on us and gives his blessings to us. In essence, this religion also tells man exactly what he wants to hear. And it borrows from Christianity to do it. So what is it that man wants to hear? In 2 Timothy 4, Paul warns that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Man wants to hear whatever will make him feel the most comfortable and the most comforted in whatever he is doing. He wants to hear that it's okay to do whatever he feels like doing. He wants to hear that God is a nice guy who loves him and wants him to be happy. He wants to hear that God will give him whatever he wants. And he wants to hear that all dogs go to heaven. Okay, how many people remember that movie? At least a few. Come on, I'm not that old and I remember it. I'm not that old, am I? He wants to hear all people go to heaven. Now, those really bad people like Hitler and Stalin and that guy with the road rage last night, they can all go to the other place. But they'll really be the only ones there. God is happy with everyone, and God wants everyone to be happy. That is what man wants to hear. And so where does he get this gospel from? Frankly, it comes from man's own desires being projected onto God. You've heard the old expression, ever since God created man in his image, man has been trying to return the favor. In other words, God created man in his image way back in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. God created us to be like him, and so now fallen man turns that around and looks at a mirror and says, that's God. We, our man, wants God to behave like himself. In Jeremiah 9, the prophet warns that the people of Israel have stubbornly followed their own hearts and have gone after the Baals as their fathers taught them. Man strays from God to go after his own desires. This is what people, and we ourselves are not exactly immune to this, try to replace the gospel with. But that does not alter the truth of Christ's gospel, which stands against man's gospel. In contrast to man's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ is exactly what we find in Scripture, that God loved and created man in his image, knowing full well exactly what the future would hold for that relationship between God and man. Man fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, and yet God chose to redeem. God chose to save. God chose to reverse the consequences of that sin and to restore that relationship. And to do this, God sent his only son to be born as a human child, to live a human life, and to die a human death. And it is by this death that Jesus paid the price for our sinfulness. He died so we don't have to. And his death paid the price for all sins. There was nothing that we did to earn this. He did it all for us freely. And then Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father's right hand, and he rules his kingdom for our benefit. And it is by Christ's resurrection that we know that we also will rise. Death is not the end for us, but only an interlude before we rise to eternal life. This is Christ's gospel. And it is not something that we pull out of thin air. This is something which comes directly from God himself. Paul received this message directly from Christ himself on the road to Damascus way back in Acts chapter 9 when he was going to persecute, and yet God revealed himself to him and claimed him as his own messenger. The other apostles could say the same thing. They learned the gospel directly at the feet of Jesus. Jesus spoke directly to them, and he gave them the message which they proclaimed. Now, I can't exactly claim to have received this in a revelation from God himself like Paul did, and I'm pretty sure that no one else in this room can either. If you can, then we really ought to talk after church. But nevertheless, the gospel which we proclaim comes directly from God's word. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is living and active, and it works in and through us to change lives, to change hearts, to change us to be more like him. And again, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That is where this gospel comes from, is God's Holy Spirit speaking through people who wrote his message down for us to read. It is so tempting to try to remake God in our own image. It is so tempting to look at the world around us and say, wouldn't it be nice if everyone could just get along? It's so tempting to ignore what God says and pretend that he really said exactly what we wanted him to say. It is so tempting to hijack God's message and only focus on the parts that agree with what we want. Sadly, we are not immune from this. But this is why God forgives us. This is why God reconciles with us through the forgiveness which Christ won for us by his atoning death on the cross. We are forgiven for our attempts to remake God in our own image. We are forgiven for our ignoring of God's word in favor of man's word. We are forgiven for hijacking God's message of redemption to further our own selfish agenda. And God is always waiting right there with his gifts of forgiveness and salvation when we repent and return to his word. As we said in our hymn just a short while ago, Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be. For this heart would still refuse thee had thy grace not chosen me. Thou hast from the sin that stained me washed and cleansed and set me free, and unto this death or this end ordained me, that I ever live to thee. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.